It's good to see you all. This was a week that the culture marks love. The culture marks love in the week of February the 14th with Valentine's Day. I think if you're like me, you'd love to celebrate Valentine's Day, and you do celebrate Valentine's Day deep in your heart. But the cultural celebration of Valentine's Day, this notion of love that our world seems to have, is probably about as far away from God's notion of love as is possible. There's very little in life where the one word love could have such different meanings to the culture and then to God. If you're involved in a love relationship now, if you're courting or if you've been married for 50 years, I think we'll spend a good amount of time today reviewing this notion of love and how God views it, and how God wants you to express love. It's very different from a box of chocolates and some lovely flowers. That's not it. And you all know this week, if you paid $60 or $70 for a dozen roses, that the cultural view of love is different. Who here gave roses this week? Oh, just Gail. We should give a hand for Gail. And who here got roses this week? Well, there's one. Very nice. One or two. So there's still some romance people out there. That's very good to hear. Let's just pause and pray. Lord, help us to understand this idea of love as you have expressed it in the Bible. Help us to start living it with each other. Thank you for being very clear on what it means to be loving people in your scriptures, and help us to get that from the word today. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So, I love this one. I bought you a flower, but I ate it. Will you still be my Valentine, please? So this is kind of the Valentine's Day idea, the Valentine's Day notion out there. I'm going to do something sweet for you, and hopefully you'll do something sweet for me, and won't that just be sweet? Do you know what squirrels give for Valentine's Day? They give forget-me-nuts. Forget-me-nuts. That's not that funny. Thank you for laughing. So, Valentine's Day, I love this Forrest Gump idea. You know, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. We had some chocolate circulating around the office at the clinic this week. Somebody brought us a Valentine's Day box of chocolates, which is kind of weird at a medical clinic to think of somebody bringing you chocolates. But they were circulating around, and the master key, you know, the master key that tells you what the chocolates, well, that had been thrown out. And so one of the people that I work with really likes the caramel chocolates and was biting the, no, that's not it, biting the next one, throwing it, bite. And so there was a big pile of chocolates beside his desk with bites out of them. And so I think that shows in some ways this fickle nature of human love. What you like, what you love, and what the word love has come to mean to our culture. What the word love has really kind of denigrated down to. Now, how about this? What is your definition of the word love? Love is an emotion, right? It's a feeling that you get. And look at this little thing. This inspires a nice feeling inside you. And we have a cat, Sophie, who looks very much like that little cat. And I thought that was a very cute little picture and gave me a warm feeling. And these old kind of little cartoons that used to be everywhere. Love is a feeling. It's an emotion. It's what I have inside. Now, here's the cute part of love, right? So I want you to be at lunch with me 2 weeks ago where I'm with a man I love deeply. And that man I love deeply is telling me he doesn't feel it for his wife anymore. I don't feel it anymore. So this is cute. The cat hugging the dog is cute. It's devastating when you say, I don't feel it anymore. The emotion's gone. I'm thinking of leaving her. Real life situation, very close to my heart. So love is an emotion, right? And if you don't feel it anymore, get out of the relationship. It's just an emotion. Yesterday I was happy, and today I'm sad. Yesterday I was in love, and now I'm not. Bye. It's just a feeling. These are cute slides, but this is what they teach us about love, about the fickle nature of love. This has nothing to do with love. This might be infatuation or cuteness or something like that, but this has nothing to do with love. Here's something even more malevolent. I love my stuff. There are at least three or four car companies that have tried to link love to their car. If you have any appreciation for cars, as most men do, and certainly some women do, you see commercials with guys kissing their cars. Literally, right? Kissing their cars. Stuff. I love my stuff. Is that what God is thinking about when he thinks about love? Well, that's where our culture is. This is a t-shirt. I love my Chrysler. I love New York. As a scientist, how about this? Love is purely biochemical. I got a lecture from my daughter yesterday as she saw me preparing this. Well, that's absolutely true, Dad. Love is biochemical. It's evolutionary. It supports the perpetuation of the species. First year of science at university. And I said, you better be at my sermon tomorrow. She's not here. But that's all right. She read it yesterday. But I could list for you five or six different chemicals that the scientists are saying, that's the love chemical. Dopamine is the love chemical. Oxytocin is the love chemical. What are you talking about, like a love chemical? That's ridiculous. But this is what is being taught in our universities. This is what's being put in our newspapers. Love is this little feeling I have for the cute cat or the person that walked by that caught my eye, and that was love. That was a feeling I had. Or love is this complicated biochemistry that goes through my limbic system to the reticular activating system that makes me feel a certain way, right? Feeling. This is what love is. Now, this one's even more complicated. It's just an unpredictable emotion. Love is a wildly misunderstood, although highly desirable, malfunction of the heart, which weakens the brain, causes eyes to sparkle, cheeks to glow, blood pressure to rise, and the lips to pucker. That's love. It's all about puckering my lips, right? It's a physical thing. It's kind of a thing. It's crazy. In fact, there's a song, Crazy Love, right? I don't know. Is that what God intended when he talked about love? It's out there. You're consuming it every day. So you went to the scientific seminar, and here's what they taught you about love. There's three types of love. There's passionate love, there's intimate love, and there's commitment-based love, and there's six corollaries of those loves if you have more of one and less of the other. And so you can have the perfect consummate love where you have intimacy, passion, and commitment. And if you don't have all three, then your love is somehow incomplete. You get the picture, right? So the society is painting many, many pictures of love. And the one that's the saddest to me is that I don't feel it anymore. 50% of our love relationships described as marriage, even in the Christian church, end with, I don't feel it anymore, honey. Sorry. Not feeling it. Off we go. Not feeling the passion. So what is love to you? Is it an emotion? Is that what you're saying when you say you feel love? You have a certain emotion, a certain feeling. Romance. Certainly what Valentine's Day celebrates is the romance side of love. And that's a good thing. It's a fun thing. As I reflect back on it, it's one of the best times I had in my life. 1980, falling in love with the beautiful Kate Dreitz. What a summer that was. Just a great summer. Of falling in love with a beautiful woman. Romance, romance, romance. Do I feel the same way? In many ways, yes, I do. But in many ways, I don't. Right? 30 years ago, things have changed. Is love infatuation to you? Many of us use the terms interchangeably. This week, what got purchased? Chocolates, roses, flowers. Is that reflection of love? People talk about making love. Love is a physical act. Can I make love by lying with somebody? Is that making love? How about commitment? There used to be the little box of chocolates, never having to say you're sorry. As far as I know, in my love relationship, I have to say sorry a lot. If it never meant saying you're sorry, I'd be in the wrong relationship. I'm saying sorry all the time because I'm goofing up a lot. And that pleasant inner feeling. So this is what love may be to you. It's what love is to our culture. It's what gets sold. If you watch the movies, you're part of Hollywood. That's love. That's what love is. But the more important question to ask is, what is love to God? And that's what the rest of our time together is going to focus on. Not what love is to Hollywood or to the people who make and sell roses or chocolates. What is love to God? So our objectives for today are to learn what love is to God and to see if we can get there somehow, to learn that this incredible word we so commonly use is so incredibly abused by our culture. So how do we love God with all we have and therefore love each other with all we have? So the first thing I want us to get completely clear with, that love is not an emotion in God's eyes. Love is not an emotion. It is not a feeling. And it's very helpful. It's very helpful relationally. Any of you involved in a relationship, you can take this home today. If you came here, I'm not feeling it for my spouse today, you can go home and say, it doesn't matter. I'm showing it to my spouse today. I'm going to show, because it's your behavior. Love is an action, not an emotion. Jesus taught that this was an action, not an emotion. This is Jesus teaching himself from John 14. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. If you obey me, you love me. Love is an action of obedience. So it's not knowing something, it's not knowledge, it's not feeling something. You don't feel good about the commandments that God has given us. Love is a behavior, an action, not knowledge, not emotion, according to God. Now we're getting somewhere. So when my dear friend says to me, I'm not feeling it for my wife, I can say, that doesn't matter. I'm not interested in whether you're feeling it for your wife. You can demonstrate you love your wife this afternoon. I can demonstrate it through my action, through my behavior. So that's not what the world is telling us, and the world also does not really tell us this. 1 John 3:16 says this. This is how we know what love is. Let's listen. We're being taught here what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Good. I'm getting the straight goods here on what love is. Love isn't a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's an action. And in this case, it's a sacrificial action. What is love? Laying down my life for somebody else. So does your I love you mean I will sacrifice for you? Is that what you mean when you say I love you to your children, to your partners, to your parents? What does your I love you really mean? If you're saying what God wants you to say, it's I will sacrifice for you. It's a good test. I will sacrifice for you. Question, are you sacrificing for anybody right now? I was away with a dear friend just recently, and I asked him what the greatest challenge was in his life, and he said, I have no challenges in my life. I thought, goodness gracious, how do you get there? Having no challenges in your life. Obviously, you're not really looking to sacrifice for somebody or to serve somebody. That's not what's driving you. And therefore, you're probably not really loving anybody. And as I look at this person's relationships, yep. Marriage is gone, kids are gone, not really loving. So God has got some tips for us. He started the sacrificial ball rolling. In 1 John 4, it says this, Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. We should perk up our ears, right? How do you show love? This is what he did. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Wow. Sacrificing your own Son, that is love. Not a feeling, not an emotion. Love is dependent on a relationship with God and best demonstrated through meaningful sacrifice. That's sobering stuff. So God showed us that love is about sacrifice, even sacrificing your only Son. He showed us that love is expressed as an action or a behavior. He showed that love didn't get stuck at judgment. My love often gets stuck at judgment. Do you share that with me? You're not acting the way you should. You're not. That's it. I'm cutting off the love flow here. But God said, no, no, no. I'm opening it up. In fact, I'm sending my Son to make the love work. So God doesn't get stuck in judgment. We do. So again, question, are you and I displaying sacrifice in our lives? Because that's what it means to display love. Are we stuck judging each other and just really not acting in love and mercy? The sign outside this week talks about acting in love and mercy. I think it's Micah 6:8. It talks about walking in mercy and love. So we're getting somewhere, I think. If you're taking notes, easy. A, love is an action. And that action is about obedience. And the action is about sacrifice. It's focusing on others. The next things we're going to get to is this idea of getting to God's will. So what is the relative importance of love to God? The last thing we talked about was that God is love. Well, love to God is the most important action. Love to God is the most important action. If you want something to do, do love. Interesting. Don't feel love, do it. It's a behavior. And it's the most important behavior it can do. And Christ himself said this in our text for today, Matthew 22:34-40. Jesus is jousting with the religious elite, and one of them is going to embarrass Jesus, ask him a tough question. Here's the tough question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. Pretty simple answer, isn't it? The most important thing you can do is be a person of love. That's what it says here. Loving who? Loving God. How? With everything. Let's break that down a little bit. Loving God with all you have is the place to start. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can you claim that every part of you, heart, soul, mind, and strength, is about loving God? I know I can't. So how can we maybe get there? Let's look at how we can perhaps get there. I love this quote. It's so true. God loved the birds and invented trees. Man loved the birds and invented cages. We're selfish. We're selfish. Want things for us. And the difference between us and God is that God has a perfect heart, and our heart is imperfect. And Scripture clearly teaches this. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Ecclesiastes 9:3. The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Our human hearts are not capable of loving God in the way he wants to be loved. our hearts are self-centered. I think all of you would say amen to that. This is our key impediment to loving God and then loving each other. A heart that is not God-focused, it is self-focused. A change of heart is required. Listen to these words from Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27, and John 15, 5 from the Message. It says, God speaking, "For here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out of those countries, gather you from all over, and bring you back to your own land. I'll pour water over you and scrub you clean. I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. I'll put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you and live by my commands. You'll once again live in the land I gave your ancestors. You'll be my people. I'll be your God. Without me, you can do nothing." The psalmist says it very easily, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We need a new heart. We sing the song, "Change my heart, O God." The first step in loving God is to acknowledge you have to change your heart. And what's the key change? It's relatively simple, to move from self-centered to God-centered. And that's done through Jesus Christ, through acknowledging Jesus Christ has to be your Lord and your Savior. So our emotional and volitional life is how it starts, but those emotions are not just the fleeting feelings that the world talks about. This moving away from not what is my will, but what is God's will, what's best for God, what's best for me, moving away from those me open questions. These fickle, silly things that seem to occupy so much of our lives. If you hang around guys a lot, you know, talking about how to hit a golf ball, and that's the kind of world I live in, and it seems like fickle and silly things in many ways. What's the point in many ways? What is the point? Important things are out there. Is your heart right? Is your heart right? If you reflect on your life this week, today, last night, are you and I self-centered still, or are we kind of God-centered? How would you honestly appraise yourself in that context? Are you thinking about others more than you're thinking about yourself? Are you thinking about God more than you're thinking about yourself? Questions to ask on your journey. So the heart is the first thing that has to change. Then we have this idea of loving God with our minds. The scripture says about loving God with your heart and then loving God with your mind. And Romans 12:2, I think, is the best way to get some inkling into this idea of loving God with our minds. Romans 12:2 links sacrificing ourselves, literally offering ourselves as a sacrifice to loving and worshiping God, and then this renewing of our minds. And it talks about renewing our minds, getting it away from what the culture says, from what the world says. So kind of turning off the TV, if you will, getting away from the culture. It says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So my sacrifice, loving God. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So sacrifice, again, linked to love, loving God, worship. And this idea of my mind being renewed, changing my mind, as it were, to the things of from the things of the world to the things related to God. So sacrificing my life to God, turning my mind off from the things of this world. Where's your mind at? What would you say your mind is is focused on. Are you ruminating on your own fears and problems and anxieties and give yourself permission just to stay there? Am I happy to do that? When's my next trip going to be? When's my next promotion going to be? What's good going to happen to me next? When can I really do something nice for somebody else? When can I serve somebody today? How'd that look? How about dear old Pastor Mark stuck there at home in bed?
This is for you, Mark.
How can I try to serve him today? My brother, how can I serve him? Am I more concerned about myself? I think we all have to start thinking about these things. Where's your mind focused? Loving God with your heart and your mind is what the scripture says. How about loving God with your soul? And Martin Luther King gives us the same idea. We're going to use soul as your everything. Your everything. The consummate total of your heart and your will and your mind and your actions. And Martin Luther King says this, an individual has not started living, and I would say not started loving, until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. And that's part of our journey. Where am I stuck? Am I stuck on me? There's another song, Stuck on You. And that's perhaps equally as difficult. I don't want to be stuck on somebody. I'd like to be focused on the Lord and perhaps bigger, more important concerns. So loving God with everything you have, we should see that in each other's behavior. I see that. I saw you do that. That was really cool, what you did. What a great thing. That showed me that you love God, you love people. I was so inspired by what you did. Let's inspire each other with the things that we can do. So I love God, but I don't have time to pray or to work it out with my spouse or to serve the needy or to join God or to read the Bible or to help a friend. I don't have time for all that stuff. Well, yeah, sure, I love God with everything I got, but I don't have time. And so the natural response is you don't have a schedule problem. You have a love problem. You have a love problem. I have a love problem. I don't have too little time. I have too little love. That's what it boils down to. How about loving God with all your strength? What does that look like to you, loving God with all your strength? So there's people too busy working out to do any working for God. I love God, but I never really see anybody who needs my help. I never saw anybody who needs help. I love those gnarled hands locked in prayer. If you want to use your strength to serve somebody, the Bible tells you very clearly who you should be serving. It tells you you should be serving people in jail and the lonely and the widow and the hungry and the homeless. Very clear. The words of Christ himself. And I think we also need to acknowledge that we might say, listen, I might feel weak. I'm frail. I could not serve anybody. I couldn't help anybody move or go dig out their car when it was stuck in a snowbank. I'm weak and I'm frail. And these hands I love because they remind me of God's word. And what God's word says is this. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And while you may have no strength left in your back or your legs, if you can put your hands together to pray for somebody, to think about somebody, to make a phone call to somebody who may be suffering, you can still be a servant. So there's no passes, as it were, in using your strength to serve others. I was hoping Mark was going to be here this morning because I wanted him to hear the Jesus Calling. It's a cute little book. It's a daily devotional, and it's written as if it were words from God directly to you, kind of in the first person. And this was the one from February the 16th. Instead of resenting the limitations of a weakened body, Search for my way in the midst of these very circumstances. Limitations can be very liberating when your strongest desire is living close to me. Words coming from the Lord. Instead of resenting the limitations of a weakened body, search for my way in the midst of these very circumstances. Limitations can be very liberating, especially if your desire is to live close to me. So we have heart, soul, mind, and strength. Heart highlights the center of your volitional and emotional life. Not as transient feeling, but true heart love is action love, obedience love, sacrifice love. And our hearts need a change. We have to acknowledge that our hearts need a change first. Soul, your body as a whole, your life as a whole. Mind, your thinking capacity. Being able to think that you love God, but your mind needs to be renewed. And what does the Lord say in Romans 12:2? Don't let the culture influence it too much. Don't let the culture influence your thinking or your mind. You can use your strength vigorously to serve people, and the Lord tells us who to serve. Matthew 25 tells us who to serve. So this is what God says is the first commandment related to love, loving God like this. So on Valentine's Day week, the question is, how's your love life? Or as Billy Crystal would say, how's your love life? How is your love life? How's your relationship with God? Are you a loving person? Loving person isn't a hugger or a kisser or putting a hand on the shoulder. These are the criteria that God says should be the love criteria. What are you doing with them? Let's pause for a minute. I want you to think about this. Just close your eyes and just reflect on yourself. Am I a person of love? So, as you contemplate whether you're a person of love, again, am I a person of action? Am I a person of sacrifice? Is it my whole being that reflects that I'm a person of love? Okay, the question comes, does it matter where I focus my love efforts? Can I love whatever I want? I love dogs, and that's going to be what I do. I love dogs. Well, it does matter because the Lord says the second commandment is this: love your neighbor as you love yourself. That was his second answer to the Pharisees. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments: love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor. And so your reaction is, well, that's easy. I love my neighbor. He's just like me. It's all good. My neighbor, great, easy guy to love. I love my neighbor. And then here comes the bad news, that's not your neighbor. Why? Because Christ said it wasn't your neighbor. The person just like you is not the neighbor. The person who lives next door is not the neighbor. In this great story, the story of the Good Samaritan, my second favorite story in the whole Bible. You know this story from the book of Luke in chapter 10. There's a guy, and he's going down a road, and he gets beaten up and robbed, and he's badly beaten. And so the first potential hero comes by, a man of faith, a man of God. And in fact, he walks on the other side of the road. I'm not helping that guy. And the next person, a learned man, a man of law, comes by. I'm going to help that guy. Oh, no, I'm not. Other side of the road. The third guy comes by, a Samaritan. The Samaritan helps the man. And he doesn't just help the man by putting a band-aid on him. It's over-the-top help. Feeding, clothing, bandaging up the wounds, taking him to the inn. Over-the-top help. Over-the-top like the parable of the two lost sons. kill the fattened calf, get the ring, get the robe. God's love is over the top love. That's the Samaritan's love. Who's the Samaritan? He's your neighbor. Why did Jesus pick the Samaritan? He picked the Samaritan mostly because they're on the other side. We're the we, the Samaritan is the they. So whoever your we, they is, if you're right wing, it's the left wing. If it's a left wing, it's a right wing. If you're a Democrat, it's a Republican. If you're straight, it's gay, gay, straight. That's who it is. It's the other person. The Samaritans had a whole bunch of things that made the Jews uncomfortable. Idol worship, intermarriage. They had a separate place of worship. The word was picked to highlight the difference. That's why the word was picked. So Jesus selected the Samaritan to show us that our love, the love of our neighbor, isn't like, well, yeah, he's just like me. I can love him really easily. It was, no, he's nothing like you. He believes what you don't believe. He doesn't live like you live. But I want you to love like he loved. I want you to love him. When you love on the other side of the aisle. So who do you need to stop hating and start loving? Who do you need to stop hating and start loving? These people are your neighbors. They are my neighbors. That's Christ's hard call in the second greatest commandment. Those are your neighbors. Why? Because Christ loved you first. That's who you love. And it's going to be different for all of us. We all have our angry, hateful sides left over in those hearts that need to be changed. And that's where it comes to. So, in summary, love to God is an action, not an emotion. It's an action demonstrated by, first of all, our obedience to Him. It's an action demonstrated by sacrifice. It's an action demonstrated by our heart being focused on others, being focused on God's will. Our minds not being obsessed with what the culture says, in fact, being renewed from what the culture has poisoned our minds with. That we're using our strength not to impress other people, but to serve the hungry, the homeless, the needy, the widowed, the lonely, the people in jail. It's very specific. Christ says, this is what I want you to do. That's how we demonstrate love, not with chocolates and flowers. Our soul rising above our own circumstance. What a great picture. Our soul rising above our own circumstance, that I can love beyond that. Kindness and mercy to people on the other side. Who's on the other side of you? You know them. Reach across and love those people. Stop hating them. We're going to finish with this. And this is the so-called love chapter. You all recognize it. And this is a way, I think, of contemplating other aspects of love in your life. And what I'd like you to do is to, again, close your eyes. And just I want you just to process this on your own. So I'm going to be looking, so everybody close your eyes. I said everybody, Kate. Thank you. So you'll recognize these words, and what I want you to do is to think of these words with the I statement, that you can be God's love here on earth. And so here's how it goes. I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I do not boast. I am not proud. I am not rude. I am not self-seeking. I am not easily angered. I keep no record of wrongs. I do not delight in evil. I rejoice with the truth. I always protect. I always trust. I always hope. With God's help, I will always persevere. And with God's help, I will never fail. Thank you. So if you're like me, the chocolates are all gone at home and the roses are starting to wilt and lean over. But you can demonstrate love this afternoon. And especially for those of you involved in love relationships with a spouse, go and be love. Act like love. Don't worry about how you're feeling. Act love. Do love. Regardless of how you feel. And see what it does to the person you're loving. Let us do that to people all around us. Let's stand and be dismissed. Lord, I would pray that you would cascade your love on these people. Let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love them, that you came for them, that you died for them, and that you do it again in a heartbeat. Let each of them take the lessons from your word today, that love is not an emotion, that they can have a love behavior starting now. In effect, we can choose love. Let us be the love that we want to see, and help us to walk in that this week and as we go. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Be dismissed.